we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a headline from the Liverpool Daily Post, read by Corey Caulfield.
One-legged thief escapes on foot.
Thanks to George Sefton for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Mark Steele and newcomer Richard Herring. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Phil Jupiters. Mark, the traditional easy question for you. Which of Tony's cronies called Gordon a phony?
This is his mate Peter, isn't it? Who's like a little kid. Here, Tony, guess what? I went up to Gordon and guess what I said to him? You've been telling lies about Europe and it isn't fair. And he said, shut up. And I said, shut up yourself. And I said, don't you tell me to shut up because Tony's my friend. And I said, look what I said to Robin and Claire. And I said, you're going on about Europe as well. And it's not fair having to go at Tony. And they said, well, you can shut up because you're not even in the cabinet. And I said, well, not you anymore. And it's not fair. And Peter's been going on saying something about waving placards. And I hate them all. Can I have my job back, please?
I actually remember when Mandy was a little kid, but probably aren't very old members of the audience here tonight. There was a film called Mandy, about a little girl who couldn't speak. And Jack Hawkins taught her to. 40 years later, we're paying the price.
And he doesn't at all, Mandelson doesn't at all confirm to that gay stereotype, does he? He's at a ladies' lunch, and he says, anyway, what I hear is that Tony doesn't like Gordon.
The row about Europe doesn't make any sense to me because you've got this sort of... The people who seem most keen on, like, we must keep the pound, as if money would disappear, as if it wouldn't, you wouldn't be able to buy anything. And I just think... I'm sure that they think that it's always... It's been here ever since there was time, thousands of years ago in England when the Druids brought the stones to Wiltshire, to Stonehenge. The person that was in charge of the clan said, oh, thank you very much. Now, that will be a pound, please. Not a franc or a euro, because Stonehenge is English. In Europe, but not part of Europe.
Comments made by Peter Mandelson this week confirmed there is a rift between the Prime Minister and the Chancellor on the need for a referendum on the euro. Mr. Mandelson made his comments at a lunch for women journalists and was only silenced when the catering manager told him, get back in the kitchen and reheat those vol-au-vents. 2 points to Mark. Richard, welcome to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Who's shot himself in the foot by shooting others near the leg?
Oh, I think this is... I don't know if he's colonel. He's probably private now, actually. Tim Collins, I think, is his name, isn't it? Who did the big rousing speech to the troops that President Bush put on his wall. Be ferocious in battle and magnanimous in victory. Although I'm sure President Bush wouldn't know what magnanimous is. I have trouble saying it, so I don't know if he knows what it is. But, yeah, it seems weird. Yeah, he sort of beat up some people, possibly, and shot near some people, which seems weird, because a month ago, soldiers were sort of shooting Iraqis and bombing their buildings, and they didn't get into any trouble. So it seems weird that a man should be in trouble for shooting near someone.
This is just about everything that they said as the war was going on and as it ended as well has turned out to be not true. I'm sure that that's what caused the trouble as soon as the war ended, was that the Americans got their translation wrong. I think they thought that they'd gone into Baghdad and said, good news, you're all free. And what they'd actually said is, good news, everything is free. I love it. And all the looting stuff, they were wondering how to calm it down, how we're going to get it back to normal and all that. And I saw one picture that looked brilliant, this bloke walking along with this huge wardrobe on one of these little trucks. And I thought, well, that couldn't happen if there was the same situation here and people went out nicking furniture. Then the population would be pacified for the next 10 days because the whole country would be going, locate and attach ratchet hinge to swivel nodule 4B. And the next bit's in Spanish.
They said that this Tim fella, one of the things that he was supposed to have done was he was supposed to have pistol whipped a civic leader, which I thought was quite Wild West of him. You know, he walks into, you know, Baghdad town centre and they stop playing the piano.
Colonel Tim Collins of the Royal Irish Regiment is being investigated for alleged war crimes during the conflict. Collins told the troops, and this is true, that while in Iraq they would see things that no man could pay to see. Like an otter playing the violin. Phil, why did the school leaving age suddenly drop in Croydon?
Oh, right, yeah. Now, Education Secretary and Captain Birdseye looky-likey Charles Clark. Come over here and see me golden fingers.
many am I holding up?
The education system in this country is in such a parlous state that they ran out of money in Croydon, and they've been sending kids home from school in their thousands, which I have to admit, I see a real downside to this, which it must really take the sheen off of bunking off. Imagine you're there, you know, getting up to japes, scampering around Croydon Town Centre, and you see 400 of your mates. Where's the fun? He announced a new document that says that he's trying not to focus so much on the three T's, which are, what's it, testing, tables and targets. I remember it was the three R's. It was reading, writing and arithmetic. But education, you know, for the last few years has been in the hands of the three W's, David Blunkett, Estelle Morris and Charles Clarke. And there was one point we was chatting about, and I think he said, a seven-year-old being tested, I think, tests for tots are tough. And it's, tests for tots are tough. And then they did a big musical number. Tests for tots are tough, tests for tots are tough. How many fingers? And then he took them all aboard his schooner, and they went out and had a fish supper.
Edenham High School in Croydon had to send hundreds of schoolchildren home this week because it couldn't afford to pay the teachers. The kids were delighted to be let out of school early until they remembered that they lived in Croydon.
Journalist Simon Hoggart was recently beaten to death on a visit to South London.
It's a sick thing being a comic, but the truth is, you see, I thought it was normal, but other people didn't seem to have the same thing as me. I'm sure I can't have been the only person, though, to, when that bomb went off in Casablanca, to think that just beforehand, when the barman looked up and saw the suicide bomber, he thought, oh, of all the bars in all the town. Surely. I was ashamed, but I couldn't help it.
Alan, listen to this.
Look at my wad! Loads of money!
This is a journey into money. Loads of money.
All right, lads, what's out for the ladies?
Loads of, loads of, loads of.
Whose loads of money caused the fat cat's fur to fly this week?
Yeah, I was just thinking, one of the reasons I wasn't here last week was that I was in France. And do you know what Garnier is in French? It's a French for grabber. It's those things with the two hands that come down and lift your car away. I happen to know that because there are signs up all through Vence. There's no point raising that unless the question wasn't about J.P. Garnier.
This is.
Which it must have been. This bloke who wanted 22 million quid for being crap at his job. And the shareholders turned up and said, I don't think we want to underwrite this. But I think he's got away with it because I think his contract, he will get paid anyhow. It's GlaxoSmithKline, that agglomerated drug thing. I can't say anything about them because their lawyers are smarter than any of mine. But of course, it is a drug company, and they're all crooks who deserve to be hung.
Seemed to be his defence in the paper was, I'm hardly Mother Teresa, but you know, that's quite a good defence for anything, isn't it? Anyway, you're up for murder. Well, no, I never said I was Mother Teresa. Oh well, all right, here's £22 million. Off you go.
They still plead poverty, these people. I heard one on the Today programme, I think it was. He got a £1.7 million thing, and he said, well, I, that's the sort of package that is required to attract talent like that of mine. And you think, so all the ones that are paid £1.3 million, do they get their wage packet in a brown envelope on a Friday afternoon and open it up and go, oh, look at that! Look at the National Insurance. Once I've paid for me travel card, it's hardly worth coming in.
Shareholders of GlaxoSmithKline rejected the proposed multi-million pound pay package of their senior executive, Jean-Pierre Garnier. Patricia Hewitt, industry secretary, says she has a problem with bosses being rewarded for failure. Ministers organising the collection for Blair's victory in Iraq, Carriage Clock, say she's just a tightwad. We start round two with an advert for a course at the University of Central Lancashire.
astronomy by distance learning.
Thanks, Martin Heine, for that. Mark, in South Africa, which globally famous, much admired leader met Nelson Mandela?
Oh.
Beckham with his hairdo, I believe, is the answer.
Yes, it is. Yep.
That it?
Yeah.
Can we just do that? Just answer.
Come on, I've said that David Beckham, we have four of the funniest people in the country here, and you haven't got a gag.
What, no. Well, I was just positing what, you know, what a meeting of the minds that was. And you got Nelson going, oh, really? It hurt having your hair done like that. Yeah, yeah. No, I was in prison for 28 years. Yeah. No, my wife did have a football team, but we don't like talking about it. Did you see that they gave him a shirt, a number 3 shirt, with his name on the back? I don't know if you've seen England's last couple of games, but I think he's in with a shot. And there goes Mandela onto the pitch now. Very slowly, he is 82.
When he was asked what he thought of David Beckham's new haircut, Mandela said he was too old to express an opinion on the latest developments with young people. So he thought it was crap too then. The England players all shook hands with the great leader, apart from Emil Heskey, who aimed for his hand but missed by about a yard. Richard, who's saying hello, hello, hello to fitter women?
The police force have made the running test for becoming a policeman or woman. They've made it a bit easier because it was an equality thing, and the women couldn't run fast enough to pass the test, so they weren't getting any women recruits. Luckily, all the criminals have agreed that if they're being chased by a female police officer, they're going to run a little bit slower. So it all works out fine. And most policemen are so fat, I don't see how they could pass the test themselves anyway. It's obviously, you do it at the beginning of your career and then that's it.
Cannon used to run, though, didn't he?
Oh, God, did he, yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't stop moving for an hour after.
Ironside was all right if he was on a slope. But they
don't have to run. It wasn't about that. They have to slalom between cones as if they were training up the motorway. They put up 28 cones and you've got to slalom between them in 28 seconds.
Yeah.
I pay good money to watch young police women slaloming between them. They go in between these cones.
Yeah. That's more difficult. It's the moving, it's the judging the distances and stuff. That's why
it's very necessary in police work, I think. I don't know.
No wonder they never get any burglars then, because the burglars don't go in a cone.
Police fitness tests will be easier in order to attract more women to the force. A bleep test, which involves shuttle runs between two lines, has been downgraded. It's known to policemen as the bleep test, because participants are often heard to remark, "F*** me, that was f***ing hard."
That's not going to go out on Radio 4.
Or go down well in Croydon, though, wouldn't it?
Phil, listen to this. Rock Island Line from the album Pavarotti Unplugged. Phil, who decided that the lean side line was a mighty fine line?
Well, it's just, as soon as Coroner stopped throwing shapes to Lonnie Donegan there, as soon as he heard the skiffle, he came alive. It was like, you know, like a hippie at Glastonbury. Is this the fella that nicked Glenn Moss's, Glenn Pendleton, who nicked 2.5 miles of train track?
Yep.
He worked for Jarvis's initially, right, this fella, and then he set up his own company and basically, over the course of a couple of weeks, hired these blokes at £50 a day to nick this 2.5 miles of track. And eventually a bloke that really did work for Jarvis saw these other blokes dressed in Jarvis tops and thought, hang on a minute, they're not war lads. But they're wearing war jackets. And he informed the police, who caught him, presumably, hiding a big bit of train track in his... Jarvis said, not nothing, not me, what? And he sold it for scrap, and he got £8,000. And I thought, well, this seems an awfully elaborate scam to get £8,000. It's going to cost them £800,000 to put it back in order. And I think they should just get him to do it. Put him back in his Jarvis jacket and see how he likes the train tracks now.
If he was an enthusiast, we could have passed that off and said, oh, I was just a train enthusiast, and then I was going to nick a waiting room and lock it and say damaged to vandalism, and then nick a couple of blokes to stand around going, oh, I don't know, mate, and I'm as much in the dark as you.
Perhaps he was building, like, a Hornby 1-1 scale train set. 400-foot green felt bushes. Nicking mannequins out of Burton's windows and dressing them up. Yeah, it's a 1-1 scale train set. I've got it on a 9-mile table in my back garden. I put the hat on when I'm operating it.
Glenn Pendleton, an engineer who set up a company to steal £250,000 worth of track, has been jailed for 2 years. It's thought to be the biggest railway swindle since George Stephenson claimed his newfangled steam engine went like a rocket. Though with its top speed of 15 miles an hour, it certainly beats the Manchester to Euston Virgin Express. Suspicions were first aroused when a member of the public actually spotted engineers working on the track. Alan, which holiday beach guide recommends A to the power of 12 minus 2 over 18?
Yeah, I mean, the newspapers were full this week of evidence why too many people are being subeducated at universities you've never heard of. This is somewhere like the University of North Allerton or Southend or Croydon.
Croydon.
They have worked out the 5 best beaches in the world through an equation. Which has, I mean, I don't know what an equation is, 2 brackets, a lot of junk in the middle, as far as I'm concerned. But they've taken 3 years to work this out. And apparently the beach in Croydon is one of the better ones. Deptford is rather nice, if a bit stony. I don't know why or how they've done it, what sort of scientific research or mathematical research went into it, but there was one English beach in it, I think.
Alan has... is actually challenging the validity of the formula because he says that it's wrong for the perfect beach. And if, Simon, you could read the formula out for me, Alan has adjusted it, and I will tell you the adjustment.
OK. The mathematical formula is perfectly straightforward. It goes D equals minus 2 times A to the power of 12 brackets plus 1 plus A to the power of 23 brackets plus 1 times A to the power of 34.
Minus Germans.
According to the university website, the quantitative distribution of pollen, dinoflagellate cysts and other organic-walled microplankton on Welsh beaches is currently under investigation. We can't wait to read their report on that. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Metro newspaper.
Coronation Street's Tracy Shaw appearing naked on tour in the Blue Room has 2 male assistants in the wings armed with spray guns of fake tan. A source said, she likes to look brown all over, so we touch her up during the break.
Thanks to Graham Starkey for that. Mark, listen to this.
There's something strange in your neighbourhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird and it don't look good.
Mark, why have bumps in the night been busted?
Oh, I did read this article. I didn't really understand it. It says that scientists have proved that ghosts don't really exist, which is not that surprising, is it? Scientists have proved with an equation, like the one just now, that, oh, the place is full of ghosts. They're not likely to say that, but they proved that ghosts don't exist, and they've sort of put a load of people in an experiment somewhere in, like, one of these weird surveys that comes out every now and again where, you know, eating worms isn't good for you, says a survey, one of them sort of things. And they've proved that ghosts don't exist, apparently. But then there was a sort of... And then the article I read, there was a whole list of places that are assumed to have ghosts. And one was Broadcasting House, where apparently there's a limp butler.
The way that these scientists proved there were no ghosts was they went out with their big dog in the mystery machine and... When they removed the mask from the ghost's head, it turned out to be Old Man Peters, the gameskeeper.
Ruby, ruby, roo.
Why are they driving around in that van when they got a talking dog? Honestly. Morons. They should be at the freak show with the dog and the hippie and the snacks. and Velma the lesbian.
A scientific team from the University of Hertfordshire have concluded that ghosts, ghouls and other supernatural phenomena do not exist. Anne Boleyn is said to haunt the Tower of London, Hever Castle and Blickling Hall, Norfolk. And she's also available for weddings, parties and bar mitzvahs. Phil, which bunch of pricks are staying alive? And for once, the question does not refer to the Bee Gees.
Oh, cheap shot.
right, yeah. Right, this is the Hedgehogs of North Uist. A little Scottish island, which, for some reason, in 1974, thought they'd start importing hedgehogs. Someone brought some to the island and thought, wouldn't it be lovely if we had hedgehogs? And they arrived, and they started to make nuisance of themselves with the local wildfowl, the birds. They eat the birds' eggs, and the birds are quite rare, but I think they're seabirds. So my problem with this whole story is that how do the hedgehogs get on the cliffs to the nests? Are these super abseiling hedgehogs? With little, they don't need crampons, they just stick their own spines in. And these, so they said, right, we'll get rid of them, we'll kill them.
But they've killed a lot. Yeah, and it cost £1,800 to kill each hedgehog. And I sat there yesterday morning with a pen working out.
I'd do it for
£5. £1,800. If the bloke was paid £10 an hour, it would be 5 working weeks to kill this thing. I mean, what is he doing to it? Is he pulling it out one spine at a time? Is he slowly poisoning it so it doesn't actually find out?
I'll pop something in your milk and bread tonight and it'll help you sleep better. 5 weeks later, yeah. It's dead.
How can it cost £1,800 to kill a hedgehog?
They've got a psychiatrist lowering the hedgehog's self-esteem until they throw themselves off the island. Anyway, so £1,800 to kill a hedgehog. I am tendering a lot less. If any North Uist councillors are listening, I have my own hedgehog lure. A little puppet. Coax him out of his burrow and then cover him immediately in cheese squares and pineapple. And I will buffet the hedgehog to death. If they can't help the island, at least they can go around with nice snacks, nibbles on their back.
In a last-ditch attempt to cull the hedgehogs, conservationists will try and catch the biggest breeders. A spokesman said nothing will find a female hedgehog at certain times like a male hedgehog, apart from an oversexed lavatory brush. Alan, who got into a sticky situation with his tax?
I know, I was still thinking about the hedgehog. Who got into a sticky situation?
With his tax.
I don't know.
This is the geezer who had written... He'd been in touch with his local tax office 200 times. Anyone else, that would be stalking. I think that's... So what he did was he went in and he superglued his hands to the desk as an act of political, whatever it is. But he went in initially. He didn't think it through. The first time he went in with a prick stick and just gently tacked. But they didn't have any purchase. It didn't really grip. And then he went in with the Gloy gum that you get at the school, but he actually found it was more fun rolling that up in little bogeys and flicking it at them. And then he had the Aral diet, but he had to do 2 coats and leave it for 30 minutes to dry before it formed the proper bond. And then he found the brand he was liking. And he glued himself to the desk, and now he works there.
He said in the paper, "I'm just a hard-working man who was hammered into a corner." That's obviously what he did first of all, and that didn't work. Sticking my hand to a table is not the sort of thing I do for a hobby.
There's probably some bureaucratic bloke from the tax office come round and said, "Well, that doesn't really count because some of that glue has rolled over into the following fiscal year."
Yeah. Such a pity. We've made him famous and he can't even turn the radio on.
There they are, stretching news quizzes on now.
Before gluing his hand to the desk, Mr. Madison made over 200 attempts to contact the Inland Revenue, including sellotaping his face to the stapler, stapling his face to the photocopier, sending photocopies of his arse to Gordon Brown. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mark.
I am terminally and lugubriously embedded with magnanimity towards Miss Linda Rogers of somewhere in Hampshire, who sent this Winchester and Mid-Hampshire Observer. A lawyer purchased a box of very rare and expensive cigars and then insured them against fire. Within a month, the lawyer stated the cigars were lost in a series of small fires and made a claim. The insurance company refused to pay. But there was then a court case, and they had to. So after the lawyer cashed the cheque, the insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. Richard.
I have a letter that was sent to the Herald newspaper. I think it's probably in Worthing, which is entitled "You Scum." It's the headline to it. This is a letter. A message to the yob who stole my cycle from the Goring Street area on March the 18th. You are the scum of the earth. I've had that cycle for 62 years. You have taken a part of my life. May the fleas of 1,000 camels bite your backside and your hair turn to drumsticks and beat your brains to a pulp. Please do not print my name or address. I might get a brick through my window.
Alan.
Well, I was stuck in France last week without any other English language papers. I had to buy the International Herald Tribune, which is lousy, but just put this rather pleasing thing in it. At a country fair in the Belgian village of Meerberger last weekend, a pony, which was to be the grand raffle prize, was declared unfit by the local vet and replaced by a donkey. The winner of the raffle, Monsieur Gilbert Chartou, was nevertheless delighted. In my opinion, he said, donkey tastes even better.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Mark and Richard have 14, but Phil and Alan have creamed them this week with 19 points. And before we leave you, here's an item from the Bradford and Bingley Weekly Property Circular.
Detached house for sale, 3 reception rooms, 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and rear garden featuring a 150-foot outdoor heated poo.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Mark Steele, Richard Herring, Phil Jupitus, and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Simon Littlefield, and Lucy Clark. The stunt coordinator was Marika Good, and the producer was Simon Nichols.